Thanks, guys. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. This is a big day today, and I don't say that with like some kind of pastoral like spin or something like that to try to suck you in on something on that. But it's kind of a big day for us, you know, from a number of angles. One is the fact we welcome back our Nicaragua team. Absolutely dynamic ministry time for our team as they spent a couple weeks down there. God did just a bunch of really sweet things in and through that work. I mean, we're just we're blessed to have that connection. We really are. First service, I was sharing. I don't really know. I mean, because of the relationship with the folks that we have down there, I don't really know so much if it's like First Baptist South or if we're like Casa de Dios North, all right? But it's that kind of connection that way, and it just kind of works, and we're just blessed and blown away that God would give this church that opportunity. I'm going to share here in a few minutes. I mean, last year, 6 trips from this church down to Nicaragua, you know, to do the work of ministry and to connect in and to build in, not only within the context of church, but, you know, Jim and Denise had a trip down there in September where they traveled and got to see campus ministry work that's going on and the different campuses through the country, and to be able to be connected with our friend Junior Obregon down there. I mean, we're absolutely blessed. But then it doesn't stop there. I mean, after this service, Jimmy's already talked about it, we're going to have a little meeting, you know, to talk about planting a church. And, man, I hope that the significance of that grabs you, okay? Statistically speaking, from a church structure standpoint, 100-plus-year-old churches don't do that. Because, and I only say it for this reason, right? Because by and large, I mean, there's a propensity within churches that have been around that long to focus so much on keeping together what they have. The idea of breaking that apart to build something else up, it's rare. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but it's rare that it does happen. Folks, we're taking that step, okay? We're making a move that direction. We don't know what God's going to do, right? I mean, God is gonna shape and move us and put us in spots that we can't even think of yet at this point. But we're really excited about what God's gonna do in and through that meeting, and we're excited about where God's gonna take us with that. And then after that is the Night to Shine training, and what an unbelievable platform God has given us in this community to be able to partner with Night to Shine and to be able to minister in what I would call a fairly predominantly forgotten people group in La Plata County. Not unreached. I mean, there's plenty of stuff going on that way in different ways, shapes, and forms, but it's just forgotten in a lot of ways. And we've got the opportunity. God gave First Baptist the opportunity, right, to take some of the best people in our county and bless them with just a 5-star prom experience, which is absolutely fantastic. But then on top of that, to be able to share a meal with caregivers and to be able to have a conversation and to have a real, real talk that way, what a blessing. And so I bring all that up. Those are some big things, and I just ask us to take a minute here together corporately to pray and ask God to lead us on that and continue to drive us on that deal, and that we would just follow him. And that we would see God accomplish what he wants in each of those areas. So why don't you pray with me for just a minute. Father, we love you, and we say that we love you because you first loved us, and there is no one like you. Father, somehow in our own way, in the real-time moment, help us to get maybe just a little bit differently today just how much it means when it says that you first loved us. Help us to saturate ourselves in that and to soak in that a bit, to understand what we're saying when we say that you first loved us. And God, as that builds within us, then Father, help us respond in kind, Father, where we would love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. God, thanks for our partnership and our friendship with the folks at Casa de Dios. Father, thank you that it's really family. We praise you for that. That's just bigger and better than we could have ever imagined. Father, thank you for a congregation of people that would say, God, if you want to reach La Plata County and you'd like to do that through us, then we're willing to hold open-handed what's going on here at 3rd and 11th to multiply that effort, to see another opportunity, another environment where folks could be introduced to the gospel and Father, through the power of your Spirit, be drawn into a relationship with you. And God, we pray that we would hear your voice and that we would follow your lead and that you would give us the measure of faith to trust you that we need to see this through. And God, thanks for Night to Shine. Thank you that you've given us a chance to play. Pretty overwhelmed by that. And Father, I pray that we would go in and we would have your heart for your people. Let us give abundantly. Let us give open-handedly in that moment. And Father, I would ask that you would meet with us now this morning and that we'd celebrate you and we'd celebrate your church. And Father, that we would take a step closer to you today. And we'll pray these things because we can in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. I want to start this morning, if I could, by just reading us some scripture, laying the foundation for us where we're going to go in the course of this sermon. And just as I read the scripture, my hope is that some promises that are found here in the scripture would just grab your heart, resonate in your mind that way, and just remind you just how amazing God is that way. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Matthew writes, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Okay. Man, he just lays the foundation for us here, doesn't he? I mean, he just gives it. I mean, this is it. I mean, he boils this thing down for us. This is that our goal when we roll out of bed in the morning, that is, he gives us days and he gives us opportunities, is to love God and to love people. I mean, he's put it there and he's put it there in front of us that way. Then he goes on in Matthew chapter 28. And he says this to us. He says in verse 18, he says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And as we talk about the church and we think about the ministry of what God is doing in the church, we have to understand, I mean, not only is there this amazing promise at the end of this passage that he's never going to leave us, that he's always going to be with us, right? And that's not just church speak. That's real time, that this is his guarantee to us. But we can't miss what starts this thing where it says that all authority has been given to me. Folks, this plan that we're hooking ourselves to, that we're anchoring ourselves to, it was just not made up by some good teacher wandering around in Galilee, okay? But he's looking at us, he's telling us, all authority's been given to me. So, like, the promises here in Scripture that I share with you, these things that I make, these promises I make to you, they're done deals. You can take those to the bank. I mean, they're not even if it's going to happen. They happen. They work that way because of who he is and what he's done. And let me give you one example of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all of this together, as you turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all of this plays together within the mission and the vision of our church. Okay? And hear me on this. As we talk about mission and vision today in the state of the church, understand we've hooked ourselves to something far bigger than we are. The church, this church is not our church. It's his church, right? I think we get that. And the fact is, when we talk about mission and vision, we've not been super uber creative on that deal. We've just kind of really taken a couple, three fairly straightforward comments from Jesus and tried to boil that thing down and hook our wagon to it. I mean, we're just trying to stay in our lane, so to speak, and follow hard after him on this. But notice what he says. This is a promise. Verse 17, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," I want to stop for a minute. Circle that word anyone, because anyone's important here. All right? Absolutely imperative for us to get a hold of this thing, right? Anyone literally means anyone. And here's the amazing goodness to that. Anyone means those of us who grew up on the right side of the tracks with the right set of parents, with the right amount of investment from them, where they loved us and they cared for us and they were for us and went to Sunday school and went to camp. We did it, right? We did these things where when you look at the T-chart of your life, all the positive sides are checked. Anyone is that person. And the best part about anyone, if anyone's found in Christ, for those of us who are on the other side, who grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, we grew up so far on the wrong side of the tracks. I mean, not only do we have no semblance or idea of what real family should look like, we have no idea what the inside of a church looked like. We have no idea what Sunday school is about. We had no idea of the right way to dot our I's or cross our T's that way. As a matter of fact, we grew up so far on the wrong side of the tracks, there are no checks anywhere on our checklist. If anyone is found in Christ, they're a new creature. Church, hear me today, please. You're sitting here today. It doesn't matter to me if you follow Jesus for as long as you remember or you started this journey with him about 5 or 10 minutes ago. If anyone is found in Christ, he's a new creation. Man, that's our message, right? That's what moves this church. That's what moves us. Is this great promise that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. He goes on and he says, the old things have passed away. Man, they're put away. They're gone on this deal. He goes on. He says, new things have come, and all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's put us on this amazing mission to take this great message to La Plata County. And then he goes on and he wraps this thing up. Verse 21, he says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me just remind us of what that means for us today. Okay? When it says, I mean, theologians call this the great exchange. Okay? Where God took all of our sin. Okay, and when we're talking sin, we're not talking some generic sin, some blanket generic description of sin. He's talking about all sin, right? He's talking all of our past sin, all of our present sin, all of our future sin, time stamped and dated with specific names that are impacted by our sinfulness, all of those specific moments that we carry the baggage of in our life, those things that maybe we're even worried about committing in the future, he takes all of those things and put them upon Jesus. He works that specifically in our life. And in the same breath, he takes all of Christ's righteousness. And we're not talking some kind of generic blanket description of righteousness. He takes all of Jesus' specific eternal righteousness, every facet of his righteousness, and places it upon you through the work and record of Jesus. Folks, kind of unbelievable this morning if you think about it. And we take these verses, and I use them kind of as a backdrop because they play into why we're here as a church, First Baptist Church. Right, we exist, we believe we exist to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. And when we close our eyes and we start to think about that for a minute, what we see is transformed lives. That's our vision. Folks, that's it. I mean, that's about as complicated as it gets here. We want to love God, we want to love people, we want to make disciples, and we want to see transformed lives. We want to see people different. Folks, and here's the deal. We believe that the gospel is big enough and active enough to transform the lives of people. That's why you're sitting here today, right? That's why you're here, is that somewhere along the line, someone loved you enough to share the gospel, right? And God loved you enough to save you. And then there was somebody who came and they started discipling you. You probably didn't even know it was discipleship when it was going on. And if you didn't know it was discipleship when it was going on, that's the best kind anyway, okay? Is that it was just happening, right? You're hanging out with these people, and next thing you know, you're talking more about Jesus. You're thinking more about Jesus. You're trying to follow more like Jesus in that moment. And you're moving along that way. And the long story short on it is you start looking back and you go, man, a year ago, I didn't think like that. I didn't talk like that. I didn't react like that. That's transformed lives. That's being changed. Okay? That's that process. And we just want to jump in. Folks, here's the deal. Man, and you guys get this enough, all right? Your pastor who stands here, man, he grew up in a cornfield, right, in South Dakota. There's nothing really complex about anything that's going to come from here. But Jesus gave it to us. He just laid, I mean, anytime he stands up and he goes, hey, here's the great commandment. We all should sit up and pay attention, right? And this is your mission, right? I'm going to leave, but this is what I want you to do while I'm gone. And just believe that the gospel is here to change you. I mean, it makes us something different. And folks, hear me. There is no sin in your life that you deal with today that is greater than the work and the record of the cross. And I'm talking to those of you who've never surrendered your life to Christ, ever. And I'm talking to you who followed Jesus for a long time and you're carrying the baggage of some kind of sin habit in your life that you don't think you can ever get over. The cross is bigger. I find it fairly ironic today that we're hoping that God would pave the way for us to plant a church and a bunch of people are going to meet in this room. And I found it ironic that Jimmy says it's behind the cross. We got nothing else anyway, right? I mean, we got to go with the cross into the community if it's going to happen. So, I mean, I just thought, man, that was well played. I don't know if you thought about it like that, but that good on you if you did, Jimmy. I start thinking about this stuff, and here's the deal. Ultimately, it leaves me loving the church. I mean, I love the church, and my prayer I pray often is that you'll love the church too. Your time here, whether you're here just for a few months or you're here for a few years or you're here forever, man, that you love the church. And I'm saying that because God loved the church. He loved the church so much he sent Jesus for the church, right? Man, we want people to leave here with good taste in their mouth about the church. And God is so good to like give us this exposure to the church this way. And for me, it started at First Baptist Church of Elkton, South Dakota. And it went on to a church, Grace Church in Waseca, Minnesota. And then Grace Church Owatonna and Calvary Church Lansdale and Parker's Lake Church, Plymouth, Minnesota. And then ultimately coming and being invited to teach a Sunday school lesson at First Baptist Church Durango. Man, I love this place. God has done a ton of work in my life in this church. And it doesn't matter if it's been one church for you or a bunch of churches for you. Man, when you see this and you look at this, we're part of something bigger than us. The church is so much bigger than we are. Man, we can define and we can program and we can pray and we can, man, but God is just, it's just so much bigger than we are. This thing called the church. I want you to be in awe of that. I mean, I want us to grow in our amazement of this commitment that God has made. And I want you to start thinking about what the church has done in your life. Because see, for me, when I think about the church, it's where I was introduced to Jesus. It's where I grew in my faith. It's where I was exposed to the importance of reading, not only reading the Bible, but really loving the Word of God. I was exposed to the importance of serving and giving. Man, it was really in the church where I learned how to, like, what does a family look like? It was within a church I learned how to love my wife and love my kids. It was within the church that, honestly, I kind of learned what my mission in life was about in a church. And I believe with all my heart, man, I mean, I just can't even imagine where my life and my family would be without the church. When the church gets it right, communities are transformed, marriages are healed, relationships are restored, old are valued, young are mentored, the poor are helped, and folks lost are found. When the church is doing its job, it is the most powerful force for God and good on the earth. I shared with you last year at the same time that it's really not the size of the church that matters. It's the impact of the church that matters. Man, as we look back on 2017 and we ask the question and we look at the question, what's the state of the church? When we look back on 2017, I think we're going to celebrate the Lord today to say, God, you've made a pretty big impact. We're thankful for that. We rejoice in that. And I want to take a peek at that today as we walk through that. I want to see where we watch God really kind of bless us, where maybe we struggled a bit, and then where we're going to focus moving forward. I just want you to hang in here with me as we walk through this thing, but where we flourished. And I say this as we come to this. This, hear me, this is not us popping our jersey this morning, okay? Anything that does happen and it comes to be, and I hope we know, right? We give God the glory in that. I mean, trust me. You just have to glance at my week and kind of how I navigate a staff meeting or how our elders do. We're getting no glory, no credit on this deal. God's the one driving the ship, okay? But when we come, can I just start by letting you know, last year, we watched 6 people start faith journeys in our midst. 6 people came to know Jesus last year that we know of, okay? The 9 o'clock responded way better. I'm just saying. I mean, y'all are just staring at me like, oh, okay. Let me just put it another way. 6 different people this last year had their eternity changed. All right, that's better. All right, it's just, you know, again, that's a big thing, all right? And for some of you, you're even sitting in this room. We had the privilege of baptizing 20 folks last year. Super thankful for that. God was good to us in that. We continue to anchor. I mean, but can I stop for a minute too? I mean, when I start talking about that, that's just within this building. When you start talking our ministry partnerships across, you know, the board in this next room, who knows how many people came to know Christ? I mean, can I give you one example? Christian Challenge, Mike and Rachel Wall are involved up on campus. Super excited to be partnered with them that way. Do you know they saw 8 people come to faith last year on campus at Fort Lewis College? Okay. That's like massive. They baptized these folks, right? Christian Challenge, man, 8 kids showed up on campus doing who knows what for whatever reason, leaving different. So folks, while you're off working and you're wondering, do I have any real kind of impact in the day-to-day on this thing while I'm working or I'm, you know, at the gym or I'm in my backyard that way, understand the ministry of First Baptist extends well beyond these walls in this county. Okay, that's just one example of many that we could give, all right? So this thing is going on beyond that. Night to Shine, what an amazing gift God gave us last year, right? To be partnered in and to have a play with Night to Shine. I still talk with people right now who come up and talk about the impact of that event last year in their family's life. We get to go again here in a couple weeks. Absolutely excited about that. The gospel and our anchor to biblical teaching continues on every level and every floor here and in the Bible studies that we run and the one-on-one discipleships that are going on this way. And it is happening. I've had the chance this fall as I bring my daughter in for youth group to be able to listen to some of the stuff that's being taught Thursday nights here at youth group. Thankful for P and his team and what they're getting done that way. Just a heavy reliance on the gospel. We flourish there. God has been good to us there. Mission activity. On top of the fact that we continue to tithe 25% of our giving toward mission outreach that way. And our mission partnerships. I've already talked about Nicaragua having 6 trips go down that way. Mike and Rachel took a trip down to Peru with some college kids. Masterplan took a team over into Europe. Another campus ministry we're connected with. Our group went down and had 2 mission trips last summer as well. It's a lot of trips for a church our size, okay? And it's going to continue to grow and continue to move. We're thankful for that. Whispering Pines Bible Camp, 2016 had been the largest attended year in the history of the camp. 2017 was bigger, okay? That's amazing, right? We're excited about that. Here is talking with staff and leadership on this deal. The best part about Whispering Pines Bible Camp is the fact that one of the expressed goals of Whispering Pines is to disciple our students, right? The staff makeup of our camp this last year was primarily what we call second and third generation Whispering Pine kids. So kids who went up, came through the camp as 4th and 5th graders, did their thing, did the Old Testament, New Testament story and all that stuff on the porch. They've gone through, and now they come back and they serve our camp. They're counseling, they're
they're doing the leadership, that thing, that way, that's a win. Our deacons fund, we can thank the Lord for this, over $16,000 of help to the community and to the church that way. I want to thank Mark and Robert with our worship and just establishing more consistency within our worship. I think we've grown there a bunch. We're thankful for that. Our story team has started and started to take off a bit. We saw that through art, primarily this last year with the Stations of the Cross that went on during Easter. It was absolutely a dynamic, extra way to worship, that way to interact with the story of Easter. And then during Christmas time, out in the foyer, we're thankful for that team. Reformation Month kind of expanded our understanding of how God's working in the story of redemption. Taste of Durango was as successful of an outreach as we've had since we've been doing it as far as participation. And the number of people we connected with, Halloween is just chaos. I mean, it's just, there's no other way to describe it. You know, what started out with us just wanting to hand out some hot chocolate now is a fire hazard, and we're thankful for that. We're good with that. The Community Cares 5K, which is just a couple weeks away, honestly, every year on average is the second largest community run in our community, behind only the turkey trot in the fall. And this is coming up in a couple weeks. Talk with Ken and Abby. We'd love to plug you in on that deal. And and we get to highlight a young guy named Dominic this year, and try to come along and raise some money, help his family with some of the medical expenses that they're running up against. Other areas where we flourished, and I dive into this carefully just because for some of you, there's some of you visiting today, you're brand new here in church. Hey, by the way, this is not a normal message. This is just our state of the year thing we do every year just to kind of talk about where we're at and where we're going. I'm going to talk about money here for just a minute, and for those of you who are going, oh, stereotypical Baptists, what do we do? If this shoe fits, you got to wear it. I promise. 3 minutes or less, and we'll move past it. All right. On this deal, 2016 giving, we saw our church give $693,000 in general giving. We had over $900,000 come in between general giving and special giving, which is pretty strong for a church our size. This last year, man, we're just thankful. We asked you guys to super, you know, just consider and prayerfully involve yourself in the giving here at the church. 2017 finished, and we were at $761,500. You freely gave about an extra $68,000-$70,000 last year. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I mean, we give God the glory for that. I mean, right? I mean, that's a tepid response, but I mean, it's just, again, let me just tell you, between that and then extra giving on the outside of that we know about, special giving, this church gave $1.2 million last year. Yeah, I mean, guys, either let's clap or not clap, but let's clap, all right? I mean, this is, all right, this is good. I mean, this in-between thing, we can celebrate here. God has been good to us. Again, this isn't for us to pop our jerseys. This is you looking to the Lord and saying, you've given me, I'm going to give back, okay? We're going to give back on that deal, all right? We're thankful for that. We talked about groups. We've talked about gospel community groups all year long. Last year, we were just over 30% involvement in small group ministry. And this year, we sit at about 45%. And so we've grown almost 15% in gospel community involvement in the last year. Super thankful for you guys connecting that way. That's a big deal. Mission 2018, I want to applaud our elders for listening to the Lord and following hard after him and rolling Mission 2018 out for us. I think they've done well on that. One aspect of that we can give the Lord all the credit for, the capital campaign portion of that, we need about $400,000 to do some improvements in this ministry location. To get there, we're going to sell the property out on 172 for about $200,000, and we needed to raise about $200,000 of cash from within. And I can tell you that as of 2 weeks ago, we raised $200,000 cash. So, church, thank you for that. Generous giving on that. Right? We're thankful for that. Okay, and so now we pray that the property on 172 sells. Let me say this, if in case you missed it, 6 people started their faith journey this last year, and 20 folks followed in obedience and got baptized. We have much to thank the Lord for, right? We God's blessed us on that. And so with that being said, where did we maybe flounder a bit last year? Maybe where do we kind of maybe come up a little bit short on this deal? Let me just remind us again, 6 people got saved and we baptized 20. I keep coming back to that because we prayed last year for 12 people to come to know Christ that we know about within this building, and that 24 people would get baptized. We didn't quite get to that goal, but it just gives us something to keep praying about and keep seeking the Lord on. The other thing that we prayed for last year and that we put out in front of us is that God would bless our church where we would see 40 new folks coming in here to worship with us, that he would, in a sense, give us a tithe of our church attendance. And the reason why we prayed that way is that, I mean, Durango is 85% or 85%+ unreached. And we want to see people come and have a journey with Christ. After praying this last year, we saw about a 1% growth in our attendance on that. And we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep inviting, and we're going to keep sharing the gospel with folks that way. What's funny about our giving is that we had asked last year specifically asked that if you hadn't given, that you would pray about participating that way, and if you were a giver, that you'd pray about giving more that way. Here's the funny thing: we actually lost 8 givers somewhere along the way. We stayed flat in our growth, and we lost 8 people from giving. So I don't know who you are, but knock it off. The fact of the matter is, we saw an uptick in our overall giving with less people. I don't know how that thing works. Anyway, that's why God just knows what he's doing. Here's my challenge when I think about us, and if we potentially floundered, and I want to be careful with this, and let me just frame it like I did in the first service. Part of my personality and part of my employment background, when I first got out of college, one of my first big boy jobs was to go and train management staffs in restaurants and make restaurants better. And part of my job was just to go in and find everything that was wrong, right? And so that's a positive. It's easy in my life to walk in and I can see 95% awesome and just worry about the 5% that isn't. Okay? Guys, let me just say this about our church. I'm thankful for what's going on here. I think we're healthy. I think the main things are the main thing. Do we have our issues? Absolutely. Are we sinful still? Yeah. I mean, that's going on. Do we come up short? Yeah. We can do, yes, is the answer. God has been really, really good to us. I love this place. I love what God's doing here. Jesus is made much of here. Thankful for that. Okay. But I think if there's a weakness for us, and I share this with the 9, it's encapsulated in Mission 2018. Okay. Mission 2018, we raised $200,000 in 6 weeks, right? Praise the Lord. We're excited. 20 people gave. 20 people. That's like less than 10% of our giving base participated in that number. Okay. Well, we're absolutely stoked by the what's behind the gifts, right? And we're thankful for that. It's not quite the broad-based involvement that we would be praying for. Okay? The church plant, the response on that deal, it's been positive. As I've interacted with a lot of you, asking you regularly, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Where do you play on this deal? Man, lots of excitement, lots of anticipation that way. Less than 5% response toward any kind of involvement. Positive or negative response toward the church plant. This is not quite the involvement we're looking for. Okay? And I think where our struggle is that we come in and we go, I'm good with this part, but that's somebody else's, or that's someone else's, or Mission 28's the elders, or this is that over there. I think we do this sometimes. I think we just kind of sit back and go, Taste of Durango's for some other folk. That's for like the downtown folk, whatever that means. You know? It's for those people who like downtown. Right? And what we do is we can gravitate a lot to this is for someone else, that's for, and we do a lot of individual kind of things, splintered things, and not a lot of this is our thing. Folks, hear me on this. Mission 28 is our thing. Okay? If a church plant happens and succeeds, it's our thing. Man, we played in that. Okay? Now again, not in front of God. We're not trying to run in front of him. I'm not running out in front of him on this thing. What I'm saying is we all play. Okay? Mission 2018 is not for a select few of people. It's for our church to play in. Okay? Mission work in our church is not select, is not just for a select few. Mission work is us. Okay? Loving God and loving people, making disciples, that's an us thing. And if we're going to move forward in 2018 and beyond, man, we need more us thing. Okay? And again, there's different reasons. I have different ideas why we tend to kind of drift in these small little islands and whatever else. And but that's neither here nor there. It's an us thing. We come back and we got to ask God, how do we raise the level in our faith steps and raise the level to get past this thing and raise the level to make this our thing? I mean, simple, practical. Here it is for you. Okay, just even here in our living room this morning. Right here. Did it fire you up when you saw somebody walk in that you did not know? And now for those of you visiting with us this morning, all right, that doesn't count. You get the pass today because you're the new folk, all right? You're here. Now next week if you come back, I'm expecting you to play, all right? That's how this thing works, all right? But First Baptist people, when you saw somebody walk in the building today that you don't know, did it fire you up? Did you get excited? So much so that you had to go say hi to them? And you're like, nope. Not that excited. Not a me thing. It is a you thing. This is our place. This is our home. Okay? Here, let me take it a step further, though, First Baptist. How about the fact when you didn't see someone who should be here? Did it fire you up? Make you go, where are they? Miss them. We talk about this all the time. By and large, we all sit in our same spots, right? We all have our own little subdivisions. Who's not home? Who's not home right now? That needs you to go, man, I'm bummed they're not here. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, and so that's an us thing. That's not a first impression team thing. That's not a pastor thing alone. That's not an elder thing alone. That's not just for the handful of like extroverts in our church. I mean, that's an us thing to play on that. All right? And so we wanna move that direction. So where are we gonna focus? Man, I got a boogie on this thing. All right, run with me on this, if you will. All right, here they are. I want you to write these things down so we can come back to them. These are some of our targets, right? Mission 2018, where we focus. Mission 2018, we want to lock this thing down this year. Man, my hope, my prayer is by the time we're done with 2018, man, we have all 4 points of that thing just locked down, and we'll give God all the glory. We will celebrate his name in that moment, and we will run, meaning that we're looking for 50-some-odd folks to be part of a church plant and that we see a launch happen this year, Lord willing, okay? That we see that 172 property sell so we can finish improving this building for more ministry for the years to come, where we would see 6 gospel communities started this year. Man, if we can get those 6 gospel communities up and running, then our percentage that you're going to hear about in just a minute, our percentage of people involved in groups is going to be right where we want it to be. Man, we're looking, we're praying for that, and that we lock down our worship leadership situation in a way that just brings all kinds of glory to God. So Mission 2018 is that thing that we're looking to just kind of lock down this particular year. On top of that, this is what you're praying for. Again, if you're asking me for Bible verses, or you know, there aren't any. These are just numbers that just are round and they seem to fit, okay? We are praying for 12 folks to get saved. We want to keep praying. One a month, man. We'd love to hear the story of someone coming into faith. 24 baptisms. We'd love to see God give us a tithe on our numbers here. We average about 405 folks on a Sunday morning. Man, we'd love to have 40 new folks sitting next to us. Okay? Some of you are sitting around looking in this room. Where are we going to put 40 more people? Man, if we got to take out windows, we'll take out windows. If we got to put box seats up here, let's put box seats up here. I don't care. We got plenty of room in the 9. Maybe we'll ask some of you guys to tap out of here and go to the 9, and we'll just open up some seats. But, man, we got room for God to bring us 40 more folks. And trust me on this, man, we know people in Durango, man, who are either close or can be close to coming into a faith relationship with him. Okay? We talked last year, again, this is just practical stuff here, real quick. We talked last year about online giving. We made that available. About 10% of you jumped on and said that. We really appreciate that. That just makes things easy for us in a lot of ways. And we're really praying that that number would grow to 50%. We'd ask that you consider doing your giving online that way. We're praying for 70% of our church in group involvement. And that, again, we'll get there with the starting of 6 new gospel communities this year. Last piece on this is that we're praying for 25% of First Baptist involvement in each of our outreaches. What that means is we run 4 outreaches a year, basically, where we got Night to Shine, we do the Community Cares 5K, we do Taste of Durango, and we do Halloween. I mean, our prayer is that we would see 25% involvement in these events, okay? Because it's an us thing. It's our thing. This is not just a certain person's thing. This is the church trying to let the community know we're for the community. We picked our events. I say we picked our events. They found us, basically. I mean, across the board, Night to Shine, we didn't go hunting for Night to Shine. It found us. Okay, Community Cares, we didn't go looking for Community Cares. That found Ken and Abby, and we just run down that path now. Okay, literally and figuratively. That was bad. Taste of Durango, we kind of knocked on that door, but when they opened up the door and said, sure, church, come on down and put a kids area right in the middle of the largest event on Main Street. We just went, we can do that. Sure. And we just get to meet 10,000 of our most favorite neighbors, you know, on that particular Sunday. And then Halloween, all we had to do is open a door. And the reason why I bring this up, 25%, that'd be about 100 folks at each of these activities. I ask you, when was the last time you participated in one of them? Because it's easy. Man, all it takes is being out of town one weekend. Or going, well, I don't know about this, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not a runner. And next thing you know, a year goes by, and you haven't played, or maybe you sat back and said, well, I did it the first year. Okay. And so I'm saying, church, this is our thing. It's us. You have an opportunity to go. We don't do 12 of these things, and yes, I hear me on this. There are like 15 to 100 other areas where we could go plug in and serve our community. I get it. But can you imagine if I was up here every other week running another outreach activity in front of y'all? You'd be just going, Dobish, back up, man. We have 4. Okay, and we spread those things out on purpose, right? And so we're going to ask you, as these things come and you hear them, that you don't blow them off, but you say, man, what is my play? Where do I go on this thing? Honest truth is, something like Night to Shine, we need more than 100 folks playing. Community Cares, I don't know what Ken and Abby would do if 100 of us showed up. But we could try it and just see what happens, just kind of blow their minds, all right? But the fact of the matter is we go heavy in one, we go a little bit lighter in the other, but we want to average about 100 people at each of these activities in the year going forward. Now, here's my point. This is where I want to drive us, and we're going to wrap this thing up, all right? If we're going to see the above come to be, we must see what's most important. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about secondary or peripheral issues on this deal. I'm trying to get us back to what's most basic. And we must focus as individuals and as a collective on what is driving the day-to-day in our churches day-to-day. I mean, straight truth, what we're going to talk about, what we need to focus on if we want to love our spouses more dynamically, if we want to love our kids more dynamically, if we want to obey with greater regularity and depth, if we want to serve others and have a stronger witness and just be more vibrant in our Christ following, and if we want to love others with the heart of Christ and we want to give sacrificially and act and react in a Christ-like way, what we're going to talk about, what we have to focus on is absolutely imperative. And that ultimate criteria for us in 2018, church, is that we love God. Okay, it starts and it ends there. And some of you are going, Dovish, that was the big buildup to love God? And I'm saying it's absolutely the big buildup for us. Because I think we deceive ourselves as to what we're talking about on this deal. I think we come to the table and we define what love is, or we define how we're going to love God or how we're going to interact with Him. And He's come to us. He's laid it out in front of us on this deal. And our priority, our focus on this thing is to love Him, because it's when we do this, everything right and good and healthy happens in our life and our journey with Him. And to do otherwise leads us to some kind of empty inside, lacking inward reality form of religion that honestly all of us just want to throw up in our mouth about anyway. Notice what happened again back in Matthew chapter 22. Let me just draw your attention to this thing again. Jesus says to them on this thing, you know, he says, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus says to him, here's the answer. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I want you to do this for me. Circle the three yours. Okay? Love the Lord your God, with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Okay? Actually, that's four. Public education at its best, right there. There it is. Love him. And this is what he's saying to you. This is what he's saying to me. Stop loving him on the coattails of somebody else. Stop loving him based upon the way you think somebody would expect you to love him. I mean, I guess what I'm saying to you is what Jesus is coming to you and saying is, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, where you're at today, love him. Don't worry about where somebody else is in front of you or someone is behind you on this thing, but with all that you have, love him today. Be that committed to being close and to knowing him today. Don't settle on this thing. What he's saying to you is, don't settle just for the facts of God. Okay, a lot of us do that. We know he's big and he's omnipotent and salvation is like this and this is what goes on, right? We define these kind of things and we sit back and we get our doctrine straight and we get our facts right and we win Bible trivia contests and yet, man, we have no faith in the Father. Folks, and the question is, do we have that deep trust? That's what we're talking about, that deep trust in him and him alone, that he really knows what's best for us. I mean, will we grow deep in that? And the only way that we're going to know that, the only way we're going to experience that is that we take that step forward and we come close to him this way. And we have to, not only in faith, but, man, we can't settle for remorse in our relationship with him this way, right? Where we come and it's like, God, forgive me, and I'm bad, I'm a sinner, and I'm just horrible, and I'm this, and I'm that, right? And I just feel really, really bad about this again. And God, I'm really, my bad again on this deal this way, right? And we come and we live in this circle of remorse. And what he's saying is, man, I've given you repentance. Break free from that. I mean, really, he's coming to us and he's saying, hey, you know what? I mean, because we come and it's like, God, I'm really bad. I'm going to try to get my stuff together so I can do better. I'm going to get my stuff together so I can be better. And God's looking at me saying, I don't want your better. I came and I broke into your life to give you new. So get rid of your stuff, okay? Whatever that is, just dump that stuff and let me give you new. Experience the freedom that comes with repentance that way. And don't settle just simply for the fact that you have relationship. That's like getting to the front door of the mansion and sitting down and saying, I'm good. I don't need to see what's inside. Yeah, there's like 50,000 square feet of awesomeness. Never mind what's in the backyard. Nah, I'm good. I got the porch. I mean, worse yet, it's like having the deed. You don't even go to the property. Right? Relationship. Relationship with the Father, it's amazing. It's dynamic. We got to have that thing. But fellowship, that connection, the day-to-day, the interactions, the intimacy that way, that's where the money is, folks. And we want to take a step forward to love him, right? I mean, give you a quick example on this. You know, my dad left when I was 13. Okay, and he took off, and basically our interaction was nothing except for like photobomb snippets when there was some kind of award ceremony, okay, where he'd just blow into my life and then he'd blow out again. And that went on from about 13 to about 25, okay? Here's the crazy thing. We didn't really love each other. We didn't really know each other. We didn't really spend a lot of time together that way, but he was still my dad. Al Dobish was still my dad. But it wasn't until about 25 when we started spending time together again. We started sharing things about what was going on in our life. We started, you know, going and we're bouncing things back. All of a sudden, there was a depth and a vibrancy to our relationship. And the long story short on that is I wanted more time with him. I wanted to get more time with him. Church, hear me on this. If you're just walking around going, man, I'm really good that God's my Father, and you can't really remember the last time you spent that time with him, man, you're just missing out on the best stuff. So we need to take a step forward on this deal as a church, right? Where we love God and we're not settling for something less on this, because when we love God and we love people and we make disciples, it equals transform lives. It changes us. It makes us different this way. And I'm going to just challenge us, each of us, with this year as we take that step forward. Stop trying to be Jesus, all right? Stop trying to be like Jesus. You're going, wait a minute. Be with Jesus. Please, this year, let's be with him. Because see, at least in my issue that I have, when I try to be like Jesus, I'm telling Jesus the way it's going to be. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and you should bless me here because I did this, and you should give me a cookie here for this because I did this for you too. And I'm doing all these things for you, God, because I'm going to be like you. Be with him. Be with him. Let him change you. Let him transform you, okay? So in light of that, we got to wrap this thing up because Mark wants to sing yet, and so do you. If you take anything away as we look at this, you know, we gave you numbers, we gave you stats, we did all these things. What I want you to know and what I want us to pray for is that we love Jesus, right? That we come and we love God, all right? So my challenge for you is that you take a step forward. That you don't wait for somebody else to do it. You don't think, well, I don't have to do this because that's somebody else's stuff there. Somebody else. Hey, as Christ followers, we all need to take a step forward, come closer to him this way. And I'm going to give it to you by challenging you to think about these things this way. Number one, okay, when we respond, right, as we respond by taking that step forward. Number one, all right, is your one pursuit this year. Okay, what's your one pursuit? All of these things tie into our mission and our vision, right? Your one pursuit. How are you going to know him better? How are you going to love the Father more? How are you going to get close to him on this thing? Okay? Your one pursuit. Maybe it's your Bible reading. Maybe it's a prayer life. Maybe it's somebody to discuss what you're reading the Bible with. That way, maybe you're going to listen to sermons. I don't know what you're going to do, but whatever it's going to take for you to get close to God, to cause you to love him more that way, what's your one pursuit? What are you going to commit to that way? Number two, this follows love people. Who's the one person? Who's the one person that you're going to love on? The one person that you're going to, as Valerie said, listen to? Who's the one person that you're going to spend that time with, that you're going to pursue that way? Who's that one person? When you spend your time thinking about that, praying through this thing, all right? If we're going to make disciples, where's your one place? Where's your one place? Let me tell you, it could be your office. Doesn't have to be a Sunday school classroom. It could be your office. It could be your gospel community. It could be your backyard. It could be your picnic table. It could be your living room. But where's the one place you're going to make disciples? And if we believe in transformed lives, what's your one prayer? God, change me here. What's your one prayer? First Baptist, let's take a step forward this year. Wherever he has us, whatever way, where he has us, not where we are dreaming of somebody else or worried about somebody, but where we find ourselves, where do we take that step forward to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, right, with all of our strength? Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We do. We love you, and we're overwhelmed by the fact that you first loved us. And Father, somehow today, help us to better understand what it even means that you you love us. But God, as a church, with the things that we've experienced in 2017, we give you all the glory and all the credit for that. Thank you. Father, we pray that with all of those things that we've talked about, I mean, we acknowledge that it doesn't even scratch the surface of everything that you've done, everything that you have going on, the way that you've changed us, and Father, the way that we're different this year than we were a year ago. Father, we're humbled and we're blown away by all those things. But Father, we also want to give you all the glory that you've even been involved with us, and that we can see you at work. And we want to make sure that you receive proper honor in that. Father, help us as a church to come together and to row together, to move together on this thing, that we can see those pieces that you're putting in place in our church's life as a collective effort. Father, we have different things. There's all kinds of individuality that is on full display in our congregation. Father, the fact that we're one church, but we meet in two different services. Father, there's another hurdle that we run up against. And Father, we want to move together. So we ask that through your Spirit that you would grow us close on that. And God, help us through your Spirit now to take a step forward. Help us to take a step forward in the way we love you. And so, whatever area it is, Lord, whether it's with you, with people, making disciples, or just having that change in our life, Father, help us to take a step forward to you, knowing that you're going to be at work in our lives. And Lord, as we sing now, receive great praise from us. Thank you again for your faithfulness to us. Go before us now. Father, help us to hear your voice. And then as we hear your voice, give us the faith to trust you to respond. And we'll pray these things in the great name of Jesus. Amen.